Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have always been fascinated by the stories of people that go undercover and infiltrate gangs and mafia and drug cartel, all with the intention of bringing them down. Did you ever hear a story of Donnie Brasco? He was a guy that went in and infiltrated two big mafia families and was an instrumental part of taking them down. Then there was a guy in the 1980s, his name was Robert Mazur. Right, this guy infiltrated Pablo Escobar's cocaine empire in Colombia and helped bring it to its knees. And the way that these people do this is they kind of take on the identity of where they're infiltrating, right? These infiltrators, they look like them, they talk like them, they act like them to blend in an insidious way, just kind of go in to destroy the infrastructure, destroy the hierarchy, destroy the plans of what is going on inside these organizations. Even the Germans tried to do this very thing against Americans in World War II during the Battle of the Bulge. Well, it's sad to say that this is the very thing that was going on inside the early church about 70 AD. And that's when Jude wrote this book to the church, telling them that these imposters, that these infiltrators are inside of you. They're distorting the gospel. They're twisting the truth. And he warns them, you've got to do something about it. You guys ready? Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Here we go. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, right? James was the leader of the New Testament church at this point. To those who have been called past, he's talking about God's character here, right? Who is God and who is Jesus in our lives? To who have been called past, who are loved, present tense, currently, who are loved by Jesus, and kept by, future tense, looking forward, by Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's reminding them, this is who God is. This is his character. This is who Jesus is. He's been in our lives in the past. He is in the present, and he will always be in the future. That is who Jesus is. Then look what happens in verse 3. Dear friends, although I was eager to write you about the salvation that we share, right? He started to write, when you go back to verse 1, about the salvation that we share through Jesus Christ. But I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus, our only sovereign and Lord. Right? So this matter of these infiltrators being inside the church was obviously such a big deal that God directed Jude to change the purpose of his writing, right? These people have slipped in. They're amongst you. These people twist the truth. They change the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're among you. And notice the second part of verse 3. He just doesn't make an observation that they're there. What did he say in that second part of verse 3? I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith. You've got to contend for the gospel. Don't fall into the traps of these infiltrators. They twist the truth. In that word that talks about this urge to contend for the faith, it's a Greek word which means agony. It's where we get our word agony from, right? That it's a contentious battle. We fight it, not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, right? When we contend for the faith, when we contend for the true gospel of Jesus Christ against those who twist it, it is a spiritual battle that we're in. And you see, this is a battle that God calls us to, right? He says, contend for the faith. He doesn't say, hey, you brave pastors, hey, you brave evangelists, you guys contend for the faith while everyone else sits and looks around. No, contend for the faith. And God equips each and every one of us with our spiritual gifts, with our passion to be engaged in the battle, engaged in contending for the faith, going up against false teaching, going against those who want to lead us astray. You've got to be engaged. You've got to contend for the truth. You've got to contend for our faith. Defend it. And then what Jude does, he says, now listen, there's been many that have fallen before you. Fell into apostasy, right? Where they fall away from God. They've fallen into the false teaching. And he reminds them of who they were and what happened to them. Look at Jude chapter verses 5-7. Though you already know this, right? You guys are Jewish believers. You know your Old Testament. I know you already know this, but let me remind you what's at stake here. That the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, right? It's a good God. He delivered them. He rescued them. But later destroyed those who did not believe. Right? God left them out in the desert for 40 years because they were mumbling and grumbling and disobedient to Moses, and they never made it into the promised land, that they died without ever making it back. Because they fell away from God. Look at the second example that he gives here. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. Right? That's Satan and the angels that followed him. And look what he's done to them. And he has kept present tense. In darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment until the great day. All right, third example that he gives us of those who fell away. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. And then what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns? Wiped off the earth, right? Just like Nineveh. They fell away from God. And then the last part of that, they serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. See, Jude's saying, God has a track record here. He deals with people that fall into apostasy, who fall away from him, that follow these false teachers. You've got to be careful. They're there. They're inside of the church. And there's judgment if you fall. And he shows us what these people look like. He's going to show us now, we're going to read through these, on what these infiltrators do, right? They don't stand up on stage and say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ is the only way. There's other gods. No, they're insidious. They move about us. And look at the traits of these people that Jude lays out one after another. Start with verse 11. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. Now, what was the way of Cain? Right? Cain went before God and offered up an offering that was not pleasing to him. Right? It was religion without faith. Then God liked Abel's offering. Cain got jealous and killed Abel. Right? So we see religion without faith. It was about him. It was about jealousy. These are what these infiltrators do. They're jealous. It's religion without faith. Look at the second one he says. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. What was Balaam's error? See, Balaam, in the name of service to God, led people to sin. And he prophesied for profit. Right? He was serving under the name of God for the benefit of himself, to raise himself up, to financially profit, to make himself more important. That was Balaam's error. That's what these people do. Look at the third one here. He says, they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So who's Korah? Korah lived during the time of Aaron and Moses, right? He was a popular guy, and if there would have been a vote to see who was going to be high priest, he would have been the people's choice. But God chose Aaron instead, and Korah didn't like it and led a rebellion against Aaron and Moses, tried to overthrow them so he can raise himself up into a position of power. Jude's saying, that's what these people do. They raise themselves up. They try to put themselves in a position in which God didn't put them in. Keep going. Verse 12. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. These people work their ways into our dining room, our kitchen, our family rooms. They're with us at the most intimate times that we have with family as we share, and they sit there. And in this day, they typically did the Lord's Supper after dinner, and they work themselves in to the most intimate setting that a family has around the dinner table. Keep going. They're shepherds who feed only themselves. And what are shepherds? They're leaders. They lead a flock. And when you've got responsibility of leadership, you've got to take care of those that you lead. But these infiltrators, these distorters of truth, they take care of themselves. They feed themselves. They look out after what's in benefit for them and not what's benefit for the people that are supposed to be following them. Keep going. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Right, what good in this time, right? They rely on rain for the crops, clouds that don't provide any nourishment for the crops to grow, to sustain the people. The clouds up there are no value. And the wind blows them around and they just kind of go in whatever direction that the wind will blow. This is what infiltrators are. They're autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead, right? So what he's talking about here is there's no fruit on the tree, right? There's no fruit coming from their faith. Not only they don't have any fruit, but their work doesn't produce fruit in others that are around them. And the reason is because they're falling over. They don't have spiritual roots to keep them grounded. This is what an infiltrator looks like. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Ever been at the beach and the water's rushing and the foams are going? That's what these people do with their mouths, running their mouths, putting people down, in unforgiveness, being divisive. Just saying whatever words come to and fro. Wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Right? These infiltrators are like wandering stars. Right? If you think about a star is high up in the sky. A star is useful for direction. When you're steering a ship, it's for help. It's for guidance. The light coming from a star will light your feet so you know where to go. But these infiltrators are like wandering stars zipping through the sky. You follow them, they'll lead you astray. You don't even know where they're going, and they're not even going to provide light so you know where to go. Look at verse 16. These men are grumblers and fault finders. These people grumble about what goes on inside the church. They grumble about the people in their life group. They grumble the way that their ministry leader leads the ministry. They find fault with everything going on inside the church. They can only talk about the ways that the church doesn't serve them instead of talking about how they can serve the body of the church. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others, right? Flattery is counterfeit honor. You flatter somebody because you're looking to get something out of it yourself. You honor somebody to lift them up. That's what these infiltrators look like. Jude's saying these are the qualities. When you're around people of Jerusalem, look at these people. Be aware of these people. They're amongst you. These are the traits that they exhibit. There's 25 powerful verses in Jude. He spends 16 of them talking about what to look for. Warning that they're here. These are the traits so you can identify them. And then he shifts gears in the last 9 verses to tell us how we can be ready, to tell us how we can contend for the faith. How do we stay engaged in the spiritual battle while these people are around us? And what I love about God's word, as impactful as it was to these people in 70 AD, these exact same things apply to our lives today. Look at verses 17 to 19. But says, despite everything that I just told you, that they're amongst you, all the warnings, I gave you what to look for. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, right? They follow themselves and what makes them happy. They follow their own natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. What Jude is saying here is you've got to be on alert. It's in your bulletin, 5 ways to protect yourself from these infiltrators. You've got to be on alert. What he's talking about here is he said, listen, the people before me, they warned you that they were coming. Peter warned you. Timothy warned you. Paul warned you. Jesus himself warned you. Matthew records Jesus' warning, and he says that Jesus said, many false prophets will appear and deceive people. Paul warns in Acts 20 that they will be like a savage wolf that will attack the flock. Timothy warned that your own men will rise up and distort the truth. And Peter says that there will be false teachers. And Jude's saying, they warned you, but I'm telling you, they are here now. Be alert. And the sad thing is, I don't think much has changed over the last 2,000 years. These infiltrators were a serious issue then, and they are a serious issue today. They slip into every church in this nation, every church throughout the world, and they're disguised as those who hold to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But in their own way, they twist the truth, they distort it, They mislead us. They cause division. And they lead us astray. But Jude warned us what to look out for, right? These are people without spiritual roots. These are people that do work in God's name for self-benefit. These are grumblers and complainers who focus on what the church isn't doing for them. You've got to be alert. Jude calls these people dreamers, that they make up their own reality. They take scripture and they twist it to support the life that they want to live. And there are many, many examples around us. Think about Charlottesville, Virginia. Heinous act out of hatred because the color of somebody's skin. And as people had the audacity to say that it was in the name of Christ and even quote scripture, that's infiltrators. The true gospel of Jesus Christ does not know color. There are those who preach the heretical teaching of prosperity gospel that lead people astray by telling them, if you only had enough faith, if you only had enough faith, you would be prosperous and you would be happy. Those people are infiltrators. The true gospel of Jesus Christ does not promise us happiness or prosperity. It promises us something better, eternal life in heaven with the living God. That's what it preaches. And a life being responsible, what we do with that gift. They're infiltrators. Then there are those who bend and twist the Bible for social causes. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, redefinition of gender. They're infiltrators. The true gospel of Jesus Christ says, I made them man and woman. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and homosexuality is a sin. That's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything else is twisted. Then there are those that teach religion by works, that somehow we earn our way to heaven. They're infiltrators. Because the true gospel of Jesus Christ says that salvation comes through grace, through faith alone, and not works. Then there are those that won't preach the whole counsel of God's word. They want to teach what's pleasing to the ears, what makes the people come back. They love the God of grace, and you never hear a word about God, the righteous judge. And guys, our people are susceptible to that. There's a ministry in this town that our people are going to in the name of worship, in the name of fellowship, and they water down the word so they keep coming back. That's not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They're infiltrators. The true gospel is Jesus Christ is every word cover to cover. They distort the truth. 2 Timothy tells us that this was going to happen. Chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Guys, I can go on and on. Infiltrators that distort the truth was a serious problem then, and it is a serious problem inside the church today. They twist the gospel to support a lifestyle that they want to live. Check out what William Booth, he was a British theologian. He's the founder of Salvation Army. Look what he said in the late 1800s. I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Did he have a right to be concerned back in the 1890s? We've taken God and Christ out of everything, and we wonder what happened. And at some degree, this is going on inside of the universal church. And Jude is saying, you've got to contend for the faith. You've got to be in the spiritual battle. People are misleading us. People are dividing the church. You've got to be in this. And then starting in verse 20, he lays out for us four more points I want to make about how we stay engaged, how we fight this spiritual battle. Look at verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude's talking about our spiritual conditioning. That's what he's talking about, right? We like to talk about our physical conditioning, right? What was the exercise today? How much I ran today? What am I eating? That stuff's important. But he's talking about you have to take care of your spiritual conditioning, building yourself up in the faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. And I will argue that our spiritual conditioning is more important than our physical conditioning. So what exactly is he saying here? Build yourself up in the faith. All right, this is the second point, is that we need to spend quality time in God's Word. We've got to be in God's Word. That is where truth is. We've got to read it. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to let it penetrate our minds. We've got to let it guard our hearts. You've got to know truth. You can't detect a lie if you don't know what truth is. And guys, this doesn't happen by osmosis with your Bible sitting on your nightstand. You've got to be in God's Word, studying God's Word, making the time to understand it, to let it penetrate your heart. And when you do that, right, you don't have to go to seminary to do that. But as you spend time in His Word, you build a grid or you build a filter, right? That when these lies come at you, they get caught and you're like, no, hold on a second. Hold on a second. There's something not right about that. I gotta think about what I believe here. I got to go back to God's Word before I believe what you say. I'll go talk to a pastor. I'll talk to a fellow mature believer about what this issue, but something's not right. And we can't have that grid if we are not in God's Word. And guys, at the church here, we have tremendous opportunities for you to be engaged in God's Word. There are literally Bible studies every day of the week. There's Bible studies in the morning. There's Bible studies in the evening. Wednesday evening programming starts next Wednesday, September 13th. Tremendous opportunity for you and your children to come and be fed across all of our campuses. Ron's going to be teaching in here. The campus pastors are going to be teaching at their campuses. You got to come and be engaged in God's Word. Ron has a daily devotional that comes out every day. Living Grounded helps us, is our material for discipleship that helps you nail down the essentials of the Christian faith. All these opportunities are on our website. You can find them. And if you're unsure, stop at starting point. We'd be happy to guide you in giving you the opportunities to stay in God's word. And in the second part of that verse, he says we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not talking about speaking in tongues. This is the third point. He's talking about being prayer, praying fervently. That when we are in communication with him, when we are praying with him, we pray with fervency, with passion, with commitment, with expectation from a soul that is on fire with the living God. That we're engaged with him in this intimate conversation, knowing that he loves us, that he cares for us, to let him speak to us. We take our needs to him, our praise to him. We thank him for his grace and mercy in our lives, and we lay our needs at his feet in this intimate, close relationship. And Paul, in the church, to the church of Ephesus in chapter 6, 18, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the saints. Right? We take all of our prayer requests to him. He says, and always pray for the saints. Guys, we got to pray for one another. We are in a spiritual battle contending for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to do this united as a body of believers, not as individual soldiers. We got to pray for one another, support one another, lift one another up as we contend for the faith. All right, verse 21. I got myself out of breath. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Keep yourself in God's love. See, what he's talking about, or keep yourself in God's love, he's talking about being obedient, right? When we spend time in his word, and God speaks to us through that, when we spend time in prayer, God speaks to us through that. Now, our responsibility in that relationship is to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. We've got our role to play. Think about it in a marriage context, right? Husband and wife. You just don't get along, and a successful marriage isn't built on emotions and feelings. Anyone would tell you that. It's hard work. And part of that hard work is being obedient, right? Being obedient is our role as a husband, being obedient in our role as a wife. You've got to work at that. There's got to be concern for one another. There's got to be back and forth. And this is the relationship that he's saying here. To be in God's love, we've got to be obedient to our role. Listen to Jesus' words himself in John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love, right? Same terminology. And then he explains what he's talking about. This is Jesus' words. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see, as we grow in our love for the Lord, as we read his word, as we pray fervently with passion and expectation, God speaks to us and we respond in obedience to him. And what I love about this, and then he says that we look forward, right? We wait. And the Greek there means earnestly expecting. So what Jude's saying is that as we're in the everyday, as we contend for the faith, as we read God's word, as we pray fervently, as we try to obey him day in and day out, contending for the faith in this spiritual battle, we know that we look forward, expectantly waiting for Jesus to come back. Because he wins. He defeats all this nonsense. And knowing that in the spiritual battle of today, that is what gives us hope. That is what gives us courage to press on, to fight for the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know, we earnestly expect God to come back, Jesus to come back and carry us to eternal life. And knowing that promise is what allows us to have an attitude today that's based on hope, not helplessness. That I am fighting this spiritual battle because I am waiting on my Lord and Savior to return. It affects how I live today. The fifth and last point is that we've got to share the true gospel with people. Look at verses 22 and 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So what he's saying is, as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our prayer life, as we defend and fight for and contend for the true gospel of Jesus Christ, how are we supposed to treat those who have been affected by the infiltrators? With mercy, with love, with compassion, with patience, with discernment. And he calls out three separate groups of people. The first group, he says, they're the doubters. These are the people that sit on the fence. They're not quite sure what they believe. They don't have spiritual roots. And their faith is some mixture of what the world teaches us. They've got a little Creflo Dollar. They've got a little Joel Osteen. They've got a little bit of works-based theology. They've got all this stuff in their heads, and they don't know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we approach these people, we're supposed to do it with patience, with love, with mercy, as we share the true gospel with them. Not in a judgmental, condemning way, but in a merciful way, in a loving way. The second group, he says, those are ones on fire. Right? Those are the ones, either knowingly or unknowingly, that are sharing the mistruth, that are distorting the true gospel of Jesus. And he's saying, those people, they're on fire. You have to go after them with a sense of urgency because the flames are surrounding them. Go share the true gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Don't let them be burned up by the lies. And in the third group, he says, those are the dangerous. He goes, yeah, you go to them with mercy, but with what? With fear, right? That when you go and when you approach them in mercy, be careful. You don't want to be caught up in what they are. You don't want the lies to pull you in. So go with mercy, but go with fear. We got to share, have to share the true gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have been affected by the lies of what culture produces. 23 powerful verses that are written forcibly, that are written almost confrontationally, that should affect the way that we live today. Guys, the infiltrators are here. We've got to be on alert. These are the people, the complainers, the grumblers, those that look to be divisive, those look to tear down and not build up, those who focus on what the church will do for them instead of what they can do for the church, getting you distracted of what God's really called us to do and who God's called us to be. Be alert. They are here. And to be prepared for that, you've got to be in God's word, in your mind, protecting your heart so you can see the lies coming. You can see the infiltrators coming. Being in prayer fervently, with passion, with expectation, in a loving relationship with God, letting him speak to you. And then being obedient to what he says to you. Not sit idly by letting other people contend for the faith. And then sharing the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, with those who don't know it. And I love how Jude ends this book. What I believe are the two most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. That we contend for the faith. We keep fighting today, and look what is promised to us. Verse 24 to 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Guys, we're not going to be perfect. We can't keep ourselves from falling. Only he can do it. We do our part. We contend for the faith. And only God can keep us from falling. And to present you before his glorious presence, I envision myself, whenever I close my eyes for the last time, is standing right next to Jesus in front of the Father. But here it says, and it says, without fault. I've always envisioned myself standing there with hair, all messed up, dirt all over me, smoke coming out of my back, somehow getting in on a technicality. But that's not what this says. It says without fault. That Jesus is going to stand by me and I am going to be without fault, and so are you. Not with a list of what I did wrong or did right, without fault the way that God's created me. Look what it says, with great joy. My Savior, our Savior, isn't going to be embarrassed by standing next to us. And here's Scott. I wish he would have been a little bit better. But he doesn't. He does it with great joy. He's my servant who I am well pleased. He contended for the faith. To the only God, not one of many, to the only God, our Savior, not a distant deity disconnected from the world, my and our personal Savior. Be the glory, the majesty, the power, the authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore.